Picture this. You have just spent, I don't know, 100 hours of your life meticulously exploring this expansive, visually stunning virtual kingdom. You know the drill.
Oh, yeah.
You've battled dragons, you've overthrown a corrupt king, you've quite literally saved the entire realm from total annihilation.
Right.
So you walk into a local tavern feeling like an absolute legend, and you approach the shopkeeper. And what does he do? He looks at you with dead eyes and repeats the exact same pre-recorded line he's been saying since hour one. Need something, traveler?
It is the ultimate balloon deflating moment in gaming.
It really is.
It completely strips away the magic and just, reminds you that you're sitting in a room pressing plastic buttons.
Well, as of 2026, I am thrilled to say that this immersion-breaking nightmare is officially over.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to explore a fundamental architectural overhaul of how virtual worlds operate. We are diving into a really extensive report from Tech and Analysis titled The 2026 Gaming Revolution: The Rise of Generative NPCs.
It's a fascinating read.
It is. We are unpacking how the integration of next-generation game engines and small language models has birthed living video game characters. These aren't just chatbots. They observe you, they analyze your tone, and most importantly, they remember you. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Where would he start?
We are going to look at the death of the rigid dialogue tree, peer directly into the quote-unquote brain of a 2026 NPC, and figure out what this means for the hardware sitting in your living room right now.
To really appreciate the sheer scale of this technological leap, we have to look at the cage we've been trapped in for, well, the last 4 decades,
Yeah.
because every interaction you've ever had in a game before now has been dictated by a dialogue tree.
Right, and to anyone who plays RPGs, the dialogue tree is practically a religious text at this point. A character asks a question, the game effectively hits pause, and you select from 3 or 4 text options on your screen.
Exactly.
But behind the scenes, that illusion of choice is incredibly fragile.
It's essentially a massive, highly expensive web of basic if-then logic. Developers and writers manually typed out, and voice actors manually recorded, tens of thousands of lines of dialogue.
Wow.
So if the player chooses option A, trigger audio file B. That's it.
Playing older games was essentially like calling an automated bank phone line.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, press 1 to ask for a quest, press 2 to buy an iron sword. It was a highly rigid system masquerading as freedom, and it breaks the second you step outside the lines.
Right, because if you steal a priceless diamond from a shopkeeper and then wait 3 days and walk back
They
in.
will cheerfully say, "Welcome, traveler."
Yes. Because the shopkeeper isn't actually experiencing the world. A human writer at the studio didn't sit down and explicitly write a line of code that said, if the player stole a diamond 3 days ago, trigger the angry dialogue.
It just doesn't exist.
Exactly. That reaction simply does not exist.
Looking at the historical trajectory here,
Yeah.
you can see developers desperately trying to hide those wires for years.
Oh, absolutely.
In the 1980s, we had basic state machines. The ghosts in Pac-Man had basic Ephialos logic, chase, wander, or ambush.
And then moving forward to 2006, Bethesda introduced the Radiant AI system in games like Oblivion and Skyrim.
Right, you remember that?
That gave characters daily schedules. They woke up, went to work, ate dinner. It felt revolutionary at the time, but they were still reacting linearly. True long-term memory just wasn't there.
Then you hit 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2.
A
Yeah,
masterpiece.
widely considered the absolute peak of pre-scripted architecture. Characters actually reacted if you hadn't bathed or if you had low honor.
But to pull that off, it required thousands upon thousands of meticulously recorded audio files just to cover those specific variables. The brute force method of recording dialogue finally hit a physical
You
ceiling.
just can't record
You
everything.
can't. You simply cannot write and record an infinite number of responses. You run out of budget, you run out of development time, and honestly, you run out of hard drive space.
Right.
The transition away from press one for sword required an entirely new type engine.
So to understand how the industry shattered this glass ceiling, we have to look under the hood. If we are abandoning the recorded audio file, how is a character actually thinking and speaking organically?
Let's look at Unreal Engine 6 and this concept of the cognitive state engine. The brain of a modern 2026 NPC operates on two distinct layers.
Okay.
The first is the memory layer, which functions entirely differently from the old true or false checklists. It relies on a highly compressed vector database.
I want to pause on that term because vector database gets thrown around in tech spaces constantly. How does that actually work in the context of a video game character remembering me?
Think of a vector database as a massive three-dimensional physical room where concepts are stored as coordinates rather than text.
Okay, coordinates.
Right. So if you take a concept like stealing, you place it in a specific spot in the room. The concept of anger goes right next to it. But the concept of sunshine goes way over on the opposite side of the room.
Oh.
By converting memories into mathematical locations, the AI doesn't have to read through a massive text file of your past actions.
It just instantly checks a specific neighborhood of coordinates to pull context.
Precisely.
That makes so much sense. So the AI is clustering related ideas together geometrically. And this memory layer is split up into three distinct parts, right?
Yes, it is. You have working memory, which traps the immediate context. That's everything that happened in the last 5 minutes of gameplay.
Makes sense.
Then you have episodic memory, which permanently stores highly emotional or critical events. If you attacked them, that goes into episodic memory.
Got it.
Finally, you have semantic memory, which acts as the character's inherent foundation. It's their knowledge of the game's lore, who the current king is, their religious beliefs, things like that.
But a memory is just silent data sitting in a mathematical neighborhood.
Mm.
How does that data actually translate into the voice I hear through my TV speakers?
That happens in the second layer, the generation layer. This layer runs a local small language model, or SLM. We are talking about a model with roughly 2 to 3 billion parameters, highly optimized just for generating dialogue.
Let's clarify parameters for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Are those essentially the rules the AI has to follow?
Think of a parameter as a microscopic volume knob. Each knob tunes how the AI weighs the relationship between different words and concepts.
Cool.
With 3 billion of these knobs perfectly tuned, the model understands the deep nuances of human language.
Right.
Once that model generates the text, it feeds into a dynamic text-to-speech engine. And this isn't your old GPS robot voice. It simulates raw emotion dynamically. Fear, anger, joy.
Which is crazy to hear in real time.
It really is. And finally, a metahuman animator processes that audio and instantly syncs the character's lip movements and facial microexpressions.
To see this in action, let's walk through the cyberpunk bartender scenario from the report. I love this example.
It's a great one.
Imagine you are playing a sci-fi RPG. You're playing as a character named V. 3 days ago, you walked into a bar and you threatened the bartender with a shotgun. Fast forward to today, you walk back into that exact same bar.
The moment you step within 5 meters... a staggering sequence of events fires off. At exactly 10.42 in 1 second, the vision system detects you.
Oh.
It registers that your health is 80% and your weapon is currently holstered.
Right, so you're not an immediate threat. And then 1 second later, at 10.42 in 2 seconds, the engine fetches that vector database.
Exactly.
It jumps straight to the coordinate for your past interaction and retrieves the episodic memory. Player threatened me with a shotgun.
And it also pulls the emotional tags. The bartender's fear level was an 8 out of 10. His anger was a 4 out of 10.
That is so specific.
It is. In that exact same second, the engine synthesizes all of this into a hidden system prompt. It tells the AI, you are the bartender. Player V just walked in. You remember they pointed a gun at you 3 days ago? You were terrified but trying to hide it? Respond defensively. Maximum 30 words.
And 1 second later, at 10.42 in 3 seconds, the AI outputs a completely original line. Something like, look, I don't want any trouble today, all right. Keep your hands where I can see them. What do you want?
Yes. And the text-to-speech applies a trembling voice filter, and the animation engine automatically crosses the bartender's arms in a defensive posture.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because, wait, let me stop you. I am looking at the timeline of what you just described.
Yeah.
The game detects me, retrieves a 3-day-old memory, evaluates an emotional state, writes a custom prompt, generates original text, renders a trembling audio file, and animates realistic body language all in under 2 seconds.
A lot of math.
How does a standard console not just melt into a puddle of plastic on my TV stand?
Well, the short answer is that the main processor isn't doing the AI work anymore.
Yeah.
But before we get into the silicon and the hardware bottlenecks, think about what this means for the human beings actually creating the game.
Right.
The entire architecture of storytelling has been upended.
It has. The title of dialogue writer is essentially obsolete in major studio development now.
It really is.
Which sounds terrifying if you make a living writing game.
Their job function evolved. They are no longer writers. They are character prompt engineers.
Character prompt engineers.
Right. Instead of writing out 20 different ways a blacksmith can say hello, their job is to craft the underlying psychological profile, that hidden system prompt we just talked about.
So imagine you're designing a blacksmith character today. You aren't writing his lines. you are writing his psychology.
Exactly.
Your prompt might look like, you are a grumpy blacksmith in this specific city. You despise wizards. Your dark secret is that you forge weapons for the rebellion at night, speak harshly to the player, unless they offer you gold.
And from that core persona, the AI assumes control. That one blacksmith will have millions of completely unique organic conversations with different players around the world.
Which is wild.
The human writer who invented him will never hear the vast majority of the dialogue their character speaks.
It's exactly like the difference between a traditional playwright and a film director working with an improvisational actor.
That's a perfect analogy.
Like in the old days, you handed the voice actor a rigid script and they read the lines exactly as written.
Right.
Now, the narrative designer is the director. They are bringing a highly skilled improv actor onto the set, giving them a rich backstory, a secret, a motivation, and then just shouting, action, and letting the scene play out.
And the resulting depth from that improv is what Hideo Kojima referred to during the 2026 Engine Showcase as psychological realism.
Psychological realism.
It is no longer just about photorealism, you know, making the sweat on a character's brow look perfect. It's about how they think.
Yeah.
If you insult a beggar on the street on Monday, that beggar might hold a grudge, remember your face, and snitch on you to the city guards on Tuesday.
But letting AI actors improvise comes with some genuinely terrifying technical risks.
Oh, absolutely.
When you remove the safety net of a studio-approved script, things can go disastrously wrong. Which actually brings us back to my question about my console melting. What is the physical cost of running all of this?
Right, the bottleneck. Running a generative AI model while simultaneously trying to render 4K graphics at 60 frames per second is a monumental computational task.
I can imagine.
It is a severe hardware bottleneck. No. You mentioned your console melting. The only way this works without your machine bursting into flames is through dedicated neural processing units, or NPUs.
Okay, so the regular graphics processing unit, the GPU, is just acting as a specialized artist.
Yes.
It focuses entirely on painting the light, the shadows, and the beautiful environments, while the NPU is the accountant in the back room doing the heavy cognitive math.
Precisely. The problem is, older 8th and 9th generation consoles, like the base PS5 that millions of people still have sitting in their living rooms, physically lack this dedicated brain matter.
They just don't have NPUs.
They don't.
So if you're playing on one of those older machines, developers have to severely degrade the experience. They use much smaller, less capable language models.
Which is noticeable.
Very. And that leads to the most frustrating issue, conversation latency. You ask an NPC a question, and you have to stand there in awkward silence for up to 2 seconds while the older hardware struggles to generate a response.
It's the digital equivalent of someone buffering in real life.
Yeah, it's so jarring. But even if you have the latest hardware, you still run into the most notorious problem in all of generative tech. Hallucinations.
Ah, yes, hallucinations.
Because in the video game, the lore is everything. The world has rigid rules, a deep history, and a specific tone. When a language model starts generating text dynamically, there's a severe risk of an NPC simply inventing facts.
Which can ruin a game?
Completely. The data outlines a hilarious but totally game-breaking example. You're playing a gritty, dark fantasy game set in the Middle Ages. You make a sarcastic joke to a knight NPC. Because the underlying AI model was trained on vast amounts of real-world internet data, the knight suddenly laughs and references checking the internet or flying cars.
It completely shatters the fourth wall.
It does. Or worse, the AI connects semantic dots it shouldn't and accidentally spoils the game's ending for you hours before you're supposed to know the twist.
Right. So to combat this lore-breaking, studios had to engineer a secondary filter layer. Think of it as an invisible bouncer standing between the AI's brain and its mouth.
Okay, I like that visual.
Before the text-to-speech engine ever speaks the generated line, this filter layer scrutinizes the text. If it spots out-of-universe concepts like Wi-Fi in a medieval setting, it silently blocks it and forces the AI to regenerate an appropriate response in milliseconds.
And that filter isn't just protecting the lore, it's a vital safeguard against what's known as data contamination.
Yes, that's a huge issue.
Because if a player decides to spend 3 hours hurling toxic insults and slurs at an NPC through their microphone, and that NPC is fundamentally designed to learn and mimic player behavior,
you have a problem.
Yeah, you suddenly have an NPC that has internalized toxic garbage.
Yeah.
It might start hurling those same slurs back at you, or even spread that behavior to other virtual characters.
Exactly. The filter layer prevents the ecosystem from becoming contaminated.
And we also have to talk about privacy.
Right. There is the critical issue of privacy. In the early days of generative NPCs, companies were relying on cloud processing.
Which means what, exactly?
Meaning your actual voice, recorded in your living room, was being sent to a remote corporate server to be processed just so you could talk to a virtual blacksmith.
Which nobody wants. No one wants an open mic sending data to a tech conglomerate while they play a game.
Which is why the industry standard aggressively pivoted to on-device or local processing.
Right.
Zero voice data ever leaves your physical machine. The small language model exists entirely on your console's NPU.
I do have one major logistical question about all of this local processing, though. If every single NPC in a massive, sprawling city is constantly observing me, remembering my actions, and forming complex episodic memories over a 100-hour playthrough,
yeah,
would my save file become absolutely massive? Like, am I going to fill up my hard drive just with the memories of virtual shopkeepers?
It's an incredibly intuitive concern, but this goes back to the genius of the vector database.
Oh, right, the 3D room.
Yes, because these memories aren't being stored as giant text files or video clips. They are stored as highly compressed mathematical coordinates.
Wow.
Storing the entire conversational history, the grudges, and the emotional ties for hundreds of NPCs ultimately only adds a few megabytes to your overall save file.
Just a few megabytes.
Just a few megabytes. The compression is astonishing.
Okay, so despite the massive hardware strain, the need for NPUs, and the constant danger of a medieval knight hallucinating about Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
When these systems are rigorously filtered and run flawlessly, they unlock the ultimate holy grail for players, which is emergent gameplay.
That is the ultimate reward. The trade-off for all of this computational cost is infinite replayability. No two players will ever experience the exact same narrative journey.
Because the world reacts uniquely to them.
Right. Furthermore, you gain complete environmental awareness. You no longer have characters staring blankly while you stand in front of them covered in mud with a drawn weapon.
They actually notice.
They will dynamically panic or comment on your state.
Plus, we aren't downloading 50 gigabytes of pre-recorded audio files anymore, which is a massive win for our hard drives.
Absolutely.
But the true reward is the emergent, undocumented ways you can now interact with the game world. Let's look at the stealth level scenario.
Oh, this is the best part.
In a legacy game, if you are playing a stealth mission and a guard is blocking a door, there is usually only one, maybe two, hard-coded ways past him.
Right, you sneak behind him or you hunt around the map for a physical key.
But with generative memory and reasoning,
you can bypass the digital mechanics entirely and use human psychology. A player can use their microphone to verbally convince the guard that his wife is in grave danger back in the city and that he needs to abandon his post immediately.
That is insane. And because the guard's cognitive engine processes the logic of that statement, checks his own semantic memory about having a wife, and evaluates his fear level, he actually runs away.
He abandons his post.
The player beats the level using a psychological loophole. And the most incredible part, the developers who built the level never anticipated or programmed that specific solution.
It forces a complete mental shift for the player.
How so?
Well, you transition from being a reckless gamer who just runs around pressing buttons to see what breaks to a cautious citizen within that world. You have to weigh the consequences of your words because the world is actually listening.
It finally bridges the gap between video games and tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, for sure.
For decades, the magic of D&D was that you had a human dungeon master sitting across the table.
Mm.
If you came up with a crazy, out-of-the-box idea, the human DM could adapt on the fly and say yes and.
Right, they rolled with it.
Video games could never do that. They could only say no, that's not programmed.
Ah.
Now, for the first time, we have a digital dungeon master inside the console that can say yes and to your imagination.
It is the realization of a dream developers have chased since the dawn of the medium.
So what does this all mean?
Synthesizing everything we've explored, it means we have officially crossed a threshold. We have abandoned the rigid, illusionary freedom of dialogue trees and entered an era of psychological realism.
Goodbye, dialogue trees.
And it is entirely driven by the fusion of on-device small language models and highly compressed episodic memory vectors. The hardware hurdles were immense, but the resulting narrative ecosystem is genuinely alive.
The next time you log into a sprawling RPG, remember that you are no longer just pressing buttons in a digital void.
You really aren't.
Your words, your tone, and your actions now leave a permanent emotional imprint on the synthetic citizens of that world. treat them with caution, because they will remember how you behaved.
It fundamentally changes your relationship with the virtual world.
It really does. And I want to leave you with one final thread to pull on, something to mull over after this deep dive ends.
Uh-huh.
We've been talking exclusively about interactive entertainment here.
Right.
But if highly compressed, local language models can seamlessly give video game characters episodic memory, contextual awareness, and legitimate emotional grudges on standard consumer hardware today.
Yeah.
How long until our everyday digital tools start doing the same? How long until your phone's smart assistant or your car's GPS starts holding a grudge, remembering your bad moods, or giving you the silent treatment when you constantly ignore their fastest route advice?
That is a terrifying thought.
It is definitely something to chew on the next time you find yourself yelling at your navigation app.